First Peter chapter 5, please.
For the close of this conference, or this afternoon, this session. First Peter chapter 5. And verse 7. 1 Peter 5 and 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, or Satan, as a roaring lion, walked about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Now turn to 2 Corinthians and chapter 11, please. 2 Corinthians and chapter 11 and verse 13. Speaking about false prophets, the apostle says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves in the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, one more reading in chapter 2, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And verse 11. It says there, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and the door was opened unto me of the Lord. Now the apostle Paul there is speaking about a sinning brother, and he encouraged him to be received back into the fellowship, realizing that Satan could get an advantage over them. Now, it's very clear what I'd like to speak on for the last few moments in the conference is about the work of Satan. As a matter of fact, I've been thinking about that through the week, and sitting in the conference, I kind of moved it out of my mind and thought, well, let's forget about it. But now, on the other hand, as we come to the close of the meeting, and as I have been listening to our brethren, we have been encouraged, and I'm sure our brethren have tried to the best they can to stir our hearts up and to encourage us to live more for the Lord. And I thank God, as I look back in my life when I was younger and just saved, and I used to go to the conference, and I remember many a times that when I listened to the brethren ministering the word of God, I used to go home with a new desire to live for Christ, to live for God. And as our brother have been saying this afternoon, we trust and we believe that even in this conference, there might be some. We sometimes say if there's only one. But there might be some that might leave this conference with a new desire. I'm going to seek to give my life, and live my life before the Lord. Because that's what's the most important. But on the other hand, like we have been reminded as well, we got a very cruel enemy that is against us. When we read in 1 Peter 5 that Satan goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he might devour. And I was thinking about, first of all, that a roaring lion is making a lot of noise as he attacked his prey. But I believe what is mentioned here, Satan is like a lion who has left a lot of individuals behind, torn up the testimony, ruin their lives because of the things that happened in their life, then there is a great, great danger that might happen to some of us here, like in the afternoon. We have heard so much to live for God. And believe me, Satan is right here, and he is listening, and he knows the hearts. Just like we said, he will do everything he can for a sinner not to come to Christ. So often when we have preached the gospel, you know, you can just about feel the power of Satan in the meeting as well, holding the sinner back from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior. But also when it comes to ministry, I believe Satan will do everything he can. And believe me, has done a lot of it already to spoil the testimony of the Christian, to ruin their life. And I was thinking about it when I was listening. And I think the one thing that is very much seen around us today is so many lives have been ruined by immorality. So many Christians have fallen by the wayside, old and young. As a matter of fact, I want to say this, there is no one, not one single person in this meeting today, this afternoon, that can say, you know, I am beyond the reach of Satan. Because I know as long as we're in this flesh, Satan will do everything he can. Well, you know, some have said, well, we overestimate the power of Satan. But I believe sometimes I think we usually underestimate the power of Satan. I believe when the Lord Jesus was tempted, I thought about it this afternoon, for 40 days in the wilderness. And you know, it's strange, we don't hear much and don't read anything what happened in those 40 days, except on the end, when he was hungry, and Satan said, make those stones to be bread. Or worship me, and I will give this all to you. And he never said, there's not your power to do it. And the next thing he said, well, when he was on the pinnacle of the temple, just jump down. And it says in the scripture, and he uses scriptures, that God will send his angels so that you will not even hurt your feet. But what happens in those 40 days? The Bible said, the Lord Jesus was led by the Spirit. He was full of the Spirit. And I believe, brother and sister, that in the days that we're living in, Satan is going around in a world that is in opposition to the work of God, where, like our brother has been mentioning about the computer and the desktop and all the rest of it. But there are books, there are TV shows, there are friends that Satan will use to spoil our testimony if he can. We see so much trash in stores. Like someone has said, we can hardly walk down the street with not being defiled of the things that we see. That's the days we're living in. I would say in our years, when we were young, there was a certain fearing of God, even amongst those that were not saved. Nowadays, they talk about God if there's nothing to it. They ridicule Christianity. And they go to influence the minds of young people in such a way that they, as it were, ruin their way of thinking. I have said I was in the army. I've seen the world. And sometimes I wish I had never done it. You know, you can walk down the streets and you hear a song. You know what it is. You might read the newspaper and you read certain things and it's defiling. The less you see of the world, and that's what our brother was talking about, raising the children in the home to protect them from the world. I know we cannot protect them completely, but you know, I can see the desire and the exercise of the father and mother. The best thing, if you could just single them out and put them someplace, that they will never have anything to do with the whole world, but we cannot do it. They have to face it sooner or later. They have to be prepared for it. But as I say, Satan goes around and he tries to influence the lives of the Christian. Now, like we have heard so often, young people, be careful, be careful, be careful. What do you do in younger years when you're dating girls? Very plain. We're not scared to mention it. Too many have been carried away, and some have fallen in sin. How sad to think of it, to start your life like this. I'm going to tell you something. I wasn't a Christian. I wasn't saved. I came out of the army, but I had seen enough of the world that I used to pray, Lord, give me a Christian woman. That's strange. Maybe some think, well, that's strange to pray, because I saw there was only one woman that I could look forward to, and I didn't know what I was really praying for, I believe. I thought a Christian woman was with good morals, and Christian woman someone that would make a good mother for my children. That's what I was praying for. But I'll never forget the day when my wife got saved. As she came to me, and she said, I got saved 2 days ago. I thought, oh my, Now you see what's going to happen. But you know, I thank God for it. And if you are a Christian young man or a Christian woman today, look for a partner that can be a help to you in your life. You need one another. Our brother was talking about his anniversary 50 years. Well, I'm not that far yet, but I know my wife for 50 years. And he says, well, I know my wife already longer than that too. I know that. He's going to say that if he would, he had no chance today. But I know how it is. But you know, I knew my wife when she was only 16 years old. And we got married when we were 22. Now, I didn't get married when I was 16. Because I was in the army, I went overseas and everything, but that's where I got married. But you know, in my heart, that was my desire. It's a good thing, young man, or young woman, to ask God for guidance. Good to go to your parents. No question about it, if they can help you. And God can sometimes overrule if mistakes are made. But it's a good thing to bring that desire before God. Ask for guidance and for help in the choosing of a partner. And for us as here as older ones, let's be very, very careful how we move in this world where there is so much defilement. Then there's another danger that we see more and more around us, and that's in the assembly. And some of the brethren have already referred to it. I believe there is a tendency today, and I say it careful, to depart from the Word of God. Going by men's idea, I think, I believe, and so on. And the reason behind it is because we don't see what we would like to see. We don't see enough souls saved. We don't see enough people added to the assembly. So the danger is that we might just, may I say it this way, water down the scriptures a little bit so that we would, as our brother was talking about, bring a few more in. What may be later on will turn to grief because, you know, we're not going by the scripture. We talked about Joshua. I heard a little bit about it. And I think it was only one time when he made a big mistake in his life. And that was when he did not consult God as far as the men were concerned that came from a journey. And it had been a hinder to them in their life. The next thing I believe is the love of money today. We living in a very materialistic world today. Everybody is getting better homes, better cars. And there's nothing wrong with it if we can afford it. But the danger is what I have seen, that sometimes we might go just a little bit too far. We go for a loan, we cannot make the payments. And it brings problems in the family. Satan is, he knows exactly how to work things. I would say be very careful. It's far better to do without certain things. Then you put yourself, especially young people, in a condition or in a place where it makes your life so hard. I'll tell you one thing. I look back again in my life, and I speak from experience. When I came to Canada, there was one thing in mind. I want to get ahead in this world. And I was borrowing money. But I'll tell you, it brought a lot of sorrow. I remember many a times when I was working, and God blessed us, thank God for that. Because later on in life, it changed. But in the beginning, it was so difficult. I had to work just about 18 hours a day. I barely saw my family in the beginning. And I often had to think about the scripture. He that goes after riches will pierce himself as many as sorrow. I'll tell you, I learned my lessons. And I made a promise, and I thank God when the time came that I could say, no more. That's it. I want to have my time for the family and for the things of God. And so after we have heard, put God first in your life. Make sure that you don't rob your family for just a few earthly possessions. But the most important thing it is, because you young people, when you're raising a family, and older ones, we know, you only got your family with you for a short time. They're gone before you know it. And that's what our brother was talking about. I want to say it very clear. Those early years, when the children come home from school, I have heard people say, well, you know, when they go to school, I got more time to work. But you know, it's a sad thing when children come home and there is no mother. It's a very sad thing. You know, my wife, and let me, I'm not boasting, but I thank God she didn't have to go out to work. Sometimes there are conditions and we know it has to be done because of circumstances that we're living in this world. But if you can help it at all, if possible, make sure there's someone home when the children come home to offer maybe a cup of tea, a little advice, a little welcome. They know that's home. Mom or dad is waiting at least there. In a place like some of the children come home, nobody there. They go to their neighbors or to the babysitter. And you don't know half what goes on sometimes in the world that we're living in. Just a warning. Then there's another thing that I want to say is this, and the time is gone, but you know there's a great love of self. Satan will use that. And you can add to it whatever you want. You know, to find a position to raise your status above somebody else. And the last one, I see that time is gone. I don't want to go over time. That is very sensitive to things around us. Hypersensitive. You know, there are brothers and sisters, especially in the assembly, we see it more and more today. You know, our brother was talking about speaking to the children. But I believe sometimes Christians in the assembly, oh, they're so quickly offended. My, I'll tell you, you can hardly say a thing. You know, you try to warn them, and maybe especially for godly elders. And I know sometimes I've heard it, and I believe there are some elders, and they rule with a rod of iron. I'm telling you, if there's anybody against that, I am the one. I believe what we need is really godly shepherds. Men that will take really care of the flock. Have a real interest in the younger ones. But they have to be sincere and honest. And younger ones again this afternoon. Don't get too quickly offended. You know, it's good when you got someone that you can trust in. And when they come to you and maybe give you a little bit of advice, they might do it as a father. Trying to help you in your young years. Trying to send you on the right way. To protect you maybe from evils that you might not even see. I remember in my life again, there was a time I was going to buy a place. And some of the older brother came to me and said, listen, Cal, it would be better not to do it. But of course, I had my mind set on it. I wanted it. And you know, they tried to point it out to me how it would be a difficult place and hard to do it. And I sat down to the other side, you know, and if you don't want to see it, you know, you don't see nothing. You're as blind as it can be. I tell you, I went my way, but many a times I had to say, boy, if I only would have listened to those brethren. I tell you, it would have saved me a lot of problems. It's a good thing. I always tell my sons, look, if you're too scared to listen to some advice that maybe is against what you want, you better check it because there might be something wrong. That's absolutely true. I believe there's nothing better. If somebody gives you advice, sit down. Take a piece of paper and take a pencil and say, now this is what he says and this is what he advised and this is what I think. And be sure and pray for it and see if God will guide you in the right way. Just a few things. Remember, soon you'll be outside that door. The world is waiting. It won't be very easy. I've always said the easiest place to live a Christian life, you know what it is? In heaven. But the next one is in a conference right here. You know, when you see all the brethren and sisters, and you know you can put on a good front, and it's normal. That's great. But you know, when you get outside, that's a different story. May God help you, preserve you, and give, if you leave this place with the right desire, I'm going to seek to live for God. In the few days that are left here in this world. May God bless his words.